A power struggle over energy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. It's an all-out battle for control of one of the world's most valuable resources. And in Russia, it seems, possession may be nine-tenths of the law. Back in 2003, the British oil giant BP began a joint venture that was supposed to be 50-50 with Russian investors. But now that operation has become Russia's third largest oil producer, and the billionaire Russian investors have been making life miserable for the BP executive who's been running things. It now appears they've successfully forced him out of the country. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us from London with this unfolding drama. Good day to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Bob.
So what's the latest? It appears the British chief of this operation actually hopes to run the whole thing from exile, basically?
Yes, he has left Moscow temporarily, he says, but will continue to run the company from outside Russia in what he calls an undisclosed location. BP says the joint venture will operate normally, but there really is a big question mark now over this whole project, or rather BP's involvement in it.
Now, does the Russian government appear to be involved in this power struggle at all?
Well, BP isn't saying that. However, it's pretty clear that elements of the Russian government are involved because the BP boss of this joint venture, Bob Dudley, has been denied a work visa. There have been lawsuits. There have been raids by the authorities on the company's offices. So it does look as if there might be some government involvement. It's difficult to say how far up the hierarchy that involvement goes.
This is just the latest case in which it appears foreign operations are having trouble doing business in Russia.
Absolutely, and particularly oil companies. I mean, we've had both Shell and Exxon being pressured to reduce their operations in Russia. And this, observers say, is part of this whole phenomenon of resource nationalism. This is the Russians saying, these are our resources, this is our energy, we want to control it. However, there are some analysts here in London who say that in BP's case, the oligarchs, the four billionaires that are BP's co-partners in this project, want to get more cash out of it, but BP's been resisting that and saying we want to plow the money back into production. Really, that this is all more about money and corruption and greed than resource nationalism.
Now, if BP does lose this fight, where do they go from here?
Well, this is a pretty critical part of BP's global operation. This joint venture, TNK-BP, is pumping 1.4 million barrels of crude a day. BP's share of that represents about a quarter of its global output. So BP is digging in for a long fight, but we're talking now in Russia about a situation where law enforcement is spinning out of control. So it's looking pretty bad for BP.
For now, it seems appropriate to say a rather oily situation. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Bob.
Stocks have taken another sharp dive amid nagging worries over the financial sector. This morning, the Dow will kick off from the 11,349 mark after losing 283 points, almost 2.5%. The S&P is at 1,252 after a 29-point loss, 1.3%. The Nasdaq declined nearly 46 points, just shy of 2%. European markets are following that lead. London's FTSE is off 1% at this hour. Frankfurt's DAX is down 1.5%. A University of Michigan researcher is presenting a report today on online banking security, or rather, the lack of it. Fully 75% of the banks he studied had dangerous design flaws in their web networks that could compromise crucial customer data, like account information, user logins, and passwords. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Denise Johnson perched on a comfy chair at a Portland coffee bar, surfing the web.
It's a site of cute pictures of cats doing things.
Would you do your banking online?
Not on an open wireless network, no.
Johnson knows not to send her personal login and username into unsecured cyberspace, but computer science professor Atul Prakash says many bank websites could be compromising that very same personal information. They have unencrypted login pages that could lead customers into the hands of cyber thieves.
What we found is that it would be very easy for an attacker to set up a page that looks exactly identical to your bank's website. You would have no way of knowing that you're actually not on your bank's website.
Prakash's advice, make sure your online banking session starts and stays at a site that begins HTTPS. That S means it's secure, protecting your information and your money. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Clarkson Potter's The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
A little suspense now. Da, da-na, 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 da-na. Okay, I was forced to do that because this Sunday is the start of Shark Week, Discovery Channel's annual advertising cash cow. Well, yesterday, the federal government tightened regulations meant to discourage killing of sharks in the Gulf and Atlantic just for their fins. Sharks might have the world's worst PR. There are loan sharks and card sharks. But as Marketplace's Stephen Henn reports, sharks are key to some of our own economic health.
Shark! There's a shark in the water!
Okay, so we all know sharks are scary. But what scares a shark? How about this? A little sesame oil, a spring onion, a sprinkle of ginger. Those are the basics of shark fin soup. Elizabeth Griffin is a marine wildlife scientist at Oceana.
Shark fin soup is the primary factor driving the decimation of shark populations all over the world.
Shark fins taste like tough, slimy noodles, but they're so popular in China that Griffin estimates the soup is responsible for half the global shark catch.
When you start to remove shark species from the ocean, it causes really devastating and very unpredictable consequences.
Big sharks keep second-tier predators in check, and without them, rays in North Carolina wiped out that state's scallop fishery, worth more than $1 million. Now, scientists say those ravenous rays are hunting for Virginia's clams. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And as long as we're talking about scary things, Stephen King is taking a shot in the dark with a novel new way of promoting his latest writings. He'll reportedly begin using a series of videos based on a book that's not yet published. It's a short story collection titled Just After Sunset. There will be 25 animated videos in all created by Marvel Comics. This promotion is expected to be unveiled at today's big comic book convention in San Diego. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.